On the Book Show with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
First of all, Merry Christmas Eve, all of you who are joining us on the 24th on WTBF AM and FM, and we are delighted to have a very special guest with us for Christmas Eve, Boyd Bailey, the author of 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus, a 90-day devotional from Harvest House Publishers. Boyd is the president of the National Christian Foundation of Georgia. Since 2004, he's also served as president and founder of Wisdom Hunters, a ministry that connects people to Christ through devotional writing with more than 100,000 daily email readers. He co-founded Ministry Ventures in 1999, which has trained approximately 1,000 faith-based nonprofits and coach for certifications of more than 200 ministries in the best practices of prayer, board development, ministry model, administration, and fundraising. Before that, Boyd was the national director for Crown Financial Ministries. Before that, he and Andy Stanley started First Baptist Atlanta's North Campus and assisted Andy in the start of North Point Community Church. And he, like me, went to school in the state of Alabama. Boyd is actually from Alabama originally. He went to Jack State. I went to Troy State. And yet here we are, brothers in Christ. So we're not going to...
Amen.
It's just a great pleasure to have Boyd with us today on the bookshelf. Hey, Boyd, you doing all right?
I am. Thank you, Dave. What a pleasure to be with you today and be with your listeners.
One of the things that I enjoyed so much about your book was that these devotionals are short, but have a lot of meat in them. There are 90 devotionals in the book, and some of them are particularly appropriate for Advent or Christmas season. Even those can be interpreted as Christmas-type devotionals, but really these are good any day of the year, right?
Yes, exactly right. A couple of years ago, I was writing devotionals on the parables, and I'm just intrigued how insightful, of course, Jesus is in his storytelling and teaching. And even the disciples, for some of them, these parables were head scratchers. They would say, "Now, are these written for us or for everyone? Or, you know, what's behind the meaning?" And so I really enjoy, there's 42 of these parables. So in the devotional book, those parables are mentioned, as well as I went through the other gospels and came up with a total of 90. So I really had a lot of energy and really enjoyed writing these devotionals.
Now, you do devotional writing as part of one of the ministries that we mentioned up front with Wisdom Hunters. So was the book an outgrowth of those devotionals?
You're exactly right, Dave. I've been writing these for over 13 years now, and I still write an hour every day. It's just a good workout and a good discipline for me. So from the beginning, I've tried to share my own struggles, challenges, what God's teaching me, and put those in a format where people could get a good biblical word, but also an application, you know, to what they might could apply to their life. So that's kind of the motivation behind these devotional writings.
Are they in a particular order as you work your way through a particular gospel, or what is your sort of organizational scheme?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's really no order other than I tried to organize the parables in a way where they're not back-to-back. They kind of are mixed in throughout the 90 writings. A lot of it is just everyday life. So when I write these devotionals, you know, maybe there's been a health issue that I've personally gone through, or a family member, mm-hmm. or maybe a challenge at work, or a financial issue. So I think as people read through these devotionals about Jesus, they'll see that there's a just kind of an everyday life pattern where I was hoping people could relate to it in that manner.
Now, there are a few of them, like I said, that seem particularly appropriate for Christmas. So let's take a look at those, and that's not discounting any of the others. It's just
sure.
that those do seem to have a hook that we can use if we're talking about Christmas. One of them called Prepare for Jesus, number 12, and it's based on Luke 2:7. But it also references one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 40:3. This is about preparing for the arrival of the Christ child, but more than just the first arrival, looking forward to his return. The circumstances of this was something personal to you, the birth of your first baby.
Yeah, so exactly right. The whole idea that, you know, here God chose Mary, a virgin, and she was a little bit embarrassed. She felt like she found out she was pregnant, and her husband Joseph was even thinking about divorce. And But yet, God had a bigger purpose for her, and he wanted, of course, for the Christ child, Jesus, to be born through the Virgin Mary. And so the Holy Spirit did come and impregnate her. And so that a whole emotion around the expectation of a first child, I remember for us, it was we've had four daughters altogether, and that first one, there's just something because you've never done that before. And
right.
The anticipation and trusting God and knowing that he's in control, but yet, you know, really your prayer life goes to a whole other level. And I think some of those same dynamics as we anticipate the birth of Christ, of refocusing back on God's in control. And even though our world can be really crazy at times, and whether it's political issues or terrorism or health issues or financial challenges, we can always look at God as our, you know, our true north. Our Christ is our compass to live our life, and so it kind of ups our faith and encourages us to slow down, hit the pause button, really reflect on the Prince of Peace coming to our world and embracing that, and not feeling like I have to have everything perfect. You know, one thing I've been convicted of lately, Dave, is when we have company in for the holidays, you know, I have the gift of service. I'm like Martha. I want to make sure everything's just right. And it's like the Lord's been telling me recently, Boyd, it's okay if there's some dirty dishes in the sink. You go be with the company. You be a peaceful presence. You be present with the people that are in your home, your family, your relatives, your friends, and bless them. And then you can get to the dishes later. So that those are the kinds of things I think Christmas does. It kind of heightens our spiritual senses to recalibrate back to what's really important.
The devotional also reminded me of the last line of a hymn that is not really sung all that often at in most churches at Christmas. Because of the title, it's kind of daunting, In the Bleak Midwinter. But the last line of the hymn talks about, what can I give Jesus? If I was a shepherd, I could give him a lamb, but I don't have anything, so I will give him my heart for a home. And that's what you're talking about in the devotional, too, that the greatest way to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child is to welcome him into our hearts.
Well, that's exactly right. And it reminded me recently of reading again the Christmas story. And, you know, because of the census in Bethlehem and everybody was in town, all the hotels were full, you know, all the places that you could go for bed and breakfast were full. And so here are Mary and Joseph, and the innkeeper says, well, there's no room. And, of course, he does find them place in the stalls with the animals. But just the application in my life, Boyd, in the middle of the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, will I be like the innkeeper and tell the Lord or tell Jesus, really, I'm just too busy, there's no room in my heart, you know, for you to be present and be real and be alive and for me to grow closer in that relationship? Am I going to let the busyness of society edge out Jesus, or am I going to be able to say, you know, excuse me, I do have room, you know, I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm not going to do quite as much as I thought of. Maybe I'm going to attend one less Christmas party, or, you know, not feel like I have to fill my schedule up to overflowing. So I can offer Jesus that time and that reflection and that prayer and really thinking how, when I'm with different family members, how I can really respond in love and not just react out of fatigue or exhaustion, you know, really being rested to be able to love people well.
Nice. In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Boyd Bailey, who is the author of 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus, a 90-day devotional from Harvest House Publishers. Particular devotional that I thought was interesting, and there's some, inevitably, when you have the opportunity to interview somebody, for our listeners, just to let you know what it's like for this side of it, is oftentimes publicists will send suggested questions and things like that. And often they're really helpful, but it's even more wonderful if you get the opportunity to look at the material and know about it. And there was this was not mentioned in the materials that the publicist sent, and they sent some good suggestions, but this is one that struck me. Number 8, Change Agent, talking about Jesus coming into the world and changing the world. And I think that's such a critical portion of understanding why Jesus came to be in the world, that he changed the world, that he grew up and died for us, that this was all intentional, that this was always the plan. This was not the backup. This was the plan from before the foundations of the world. And I love this idea of seeing Jesus as a change agent.
Yes, it's really inspiring for me, and it's somewhat counterintuitive because we know Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, he never changes,
right.
but yet, he calls us to change, and he sends his Spirit throughout the world to initiate change, because as we're growing, you know, closer to him, we're changing, we're becoming more like Christ. And of course, Herod was threatened by that when Jesus was born. He was threatened. Here's competition. They're calling him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of course, Herod was thinking more of Jesus reigning over geographically, politically. And of course, we know in Jesus' first coming, it's him reigning over our hearts and our lives. And so Herod was right to be threatened, but the threat was more for his soul than over power. And of course, when we surrender ourselves to Jesus in salvation and trust him in faith, then he does want us to change and become more like him. But I think the other great thing, Dave, is we are called to be change agents ourselves in our society. We're to be salt and light. And, you know, salt is very much a preservative, and it goes into, you know, the application would be in a corrupt world. How can we be salt to help preserve our culture and help provide a better way? And we want to be light of Christ, the light of Christ and the light of his truth. And so Christmas is a great time just to reflect on, as Christians, am I being a positive change agent in my world, in my family, at work, or am I letting the world conform me into changing into something that's not pleasing to our Heavenly Father? And so we either are initiating change in the power of the Holy Spirit, or we're being changed by forces that are not compliant with God's will.
There's another chapter. One of the ways that we can be a change is reflected in your devotional number 45, which is called Share Extra Stuff, based on Luke 3:11. At this time of year, we're often called upon and given opportunities to share things with other people. This is a good start to be intentional about sharing with others at Christmas time, but it should be just the start, not the, well, we'll be nice 1 month out of the year, but then we'll go back to taking care of number one come January the 1st.
Well, exactly, Dave. And God modeled generosity himself when he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, Christmas is that ultimate gift of God's gift, which then in turn inspires us to generosity as we grow in our faith and trust in him. And the cool thing about generosity that really excites me is it is more blessed to give than receive, as the scripture teaches in the book of Acts. And they quote Jesus when he said that. And yes, the people receiving the gifts are blessed, but the joy that we receive by giving is overflowing in our hearts. And of course, God calls us to give willingly and joyfully. And I like to say I've never met a generous person that wasn't joyful. I mean, there's just something about when we take not just our cash, but our time and our resources and our relationships. I think a lot of times our greatest asset are the relationships that the Lord's blessed us with. How can I use a relationship that I have that could be maybe a mentor to somebody, or could give them some expert advice, or can connect them to a job, or, you know, what is it that God's blessed me with in my life, whatever asset it is, and then how can I be generous to share that with others? I think that makes the Lord smile, since he's a God of generosity, and as we're saying about Christmas, he illustrated that by sending his only son to be with us to celebrate this Christmas season.
That really dovetails directly into another one of the devotionals, chapter 20. Living in the present is a present, based on Luke 8:18. Often people say, especially around the turn of a new year, they say, you know, next year I'm going to hang around with my friends more. I'm going to do a better job of being a better friend to people. I'm going to be more involved in people's lives. And we send out cards and say, oh, this next year we're going to see each other more often. And if we're not careful, if we're not intentional about it, a whole year goes by, and we're writing out the cards of some people thinking, oops, we didn't do so well in this past year in being intentional and being a part of each other's lives and being present in their lives.
Yeah, that's something that's a passion of mine. I'll tell you a simple idea related to this, Dave.
Okay.
Back in May when we went to the beach for vacation, I went into my phone and I turned the email off, my work email. I turned it off on my phone because I wanted to be engaged with Rita and really be present with her. So then I had the idea on vacation. I have not turned the email on my phone back on since vacation. And you talk about rocking my world. So I still, of course, check my email when I come into the office. But when I'm not in the office, I don't have access. I've chosen to limit myself and not have access to my work email. And I started thinking, who made the rule that we're supposed to be 24/7 access to work email? You know, I'm not sure who wrote that rule, but I decided to not follow that rule anymore. And did you know what? Nobody's complained.
The world did not end, did it?
It did not. And if people who know me really need to find me, they know how to call me. They can actually do what Alexander Graham Bell invented the phone for. They can call me, you know. So the mental margin and emotional margin that I have now when I'm with people and I'm not hearing something ding or I'm not feeling something vibrate, because I didn't realize it. Even if I just glanced at the email, it still occupied my attention. It still caused me to think about solutions or ways I needed to answer that. So anyway, I think that's one practical way that as we're thinking about how to engage with people, we can cut out the distractions. And mine was, I have this need for approval, and I have this need to want to make people feel good and all this. But the good thing is I can still do that. But it may take a day or two before I get back with them. And everybody's fine with that. So I think
that's a great idea.
Yeah, so just think about practical things in our lives. How can I rearrange my schedule where I truly can be present with people and have times? You know, maybe one thing Rita and I have been talking about is maybe on Monday nights have couples that we can just take out to dinner and just maybe they're younger couples that we can just listen to. And I remember we had that when we had four daughters and four teenage girls, and just having somebody to process life with and realize, wow, I'm not crazy. These are normal things that everybody goes through. That kind of margin, I think, is huge.
We're talking, in case you're just joining us, to Boyd Bailey, the author of 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus, a 90-day devotional from Harvest House Publishers. By the way, Boyd has written a number of other 2 Minutes in the Bible devotionals. He has one on Psalms, on Proverbs, for women and for men. All of these are available from Harvest House Publishers. You can check their website, harvesthousepublishers.com. Boyd, do you have a website people can go to for more information or to check some of your other devotionals and things?
Yes, wisdomhunters.com. We have a lot of free resources. We have a free app that's very robust. It has a podcast on it we do twice a month. It has the audio devotional so people can listen to the devotionals each day. And if purchasing a book is an interest and they feel, you know, financial limitations, if they would just email me at boyd@wisdomhunters.com, I'll send them a complimentary copy at no cost.
Awesome. We've got time for one or two other of your devotionals in here. Number 81 is Recognize and Receive. Starts off saying, God stationed a star over Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of his son Jesus, the true light of the world. The bright light over Bethlehem became a beacon of hope for all who believed. But Christ is shunned by the majority of its inhabitants, of the world's inhabitants. How in the world do people not recognize and not acknowledge the work of Jesus Christ on their benefit? It has always puzzled me. I've been fortunate that I have been in a relationship with Jesus Christ a very, very long time. And so I'm always surprised when people say, well, you know, that's a great idea, but it's just not for me. I'm thinking, no, it really is for you.
Yeah, Dave, that's a good thought. And I think for me, the challenge over the years has been to have a mindset of humility where I'm able to say that there's still things that I can learn that I don't have all knowledge, and I can learn from circumstances, I can learn from people, I can learn from Scripture, I can learn from God. And I think when we have that level of humility, we realize that there's ways that God wants to work in our life that maybe otherwise we wouldn't realize. I know when pride tends to have the upper hand in my life, I'm a lot more quick to talk than to listen, and I'm not near as teachable. and I kind of feel like the world revolves around me and I have all the answers to the problems. And I think that kind of heart of pride, it's hard for God to speak to that kind of heart and for us to see him working around us, because our world is so small and our God is so small, even if we believe in a God at all. And so I would just say, for a person maybe who's struggling with seeing God working in their life, I would continue just to encourage them to have a humble heart, to realize that even though Jesus may not be apparent right now, he is ever present based on what he teaches us in his word. So even though he may not be apparent because of difficulty or challenges, just know that he is present, and God loves us all right where we are, and he wants to reveal himself, and he wants to speak through the scripture and through our friends and family. We just need to have an open heart, and we can just pray a prayer like, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on right now, but I trust you, and I trust Jesus to lead me through this process, and please teach me, keep me with an open heart and a teachable spirit.
A quick look at one other chapter. That was number 39 on consumer Christianity. And what particularly struck me about this is that at Christmas time, of course, churches go all out to have the very best productions that they can do, beautiful pageants, wonderful choirs, or church orchestras in a lot of churches. Brother Steve is a minister of instrumental music at Idlewild Baptist Church in North Tampa. And Camp Kirkland is one of my close friends, so I know the church orchestra movement is a huge thing in America. If we're not careful, though, we end up becoming taking our consumer mentality into the church with us, and instead of coming in with a humble heart. That's what I got from your devotional.
Exactly, and I think this is why the Advent calendar is such a great tool for us. I know we're kind of getting into that Christmas time, but then there's the week after Christmas around God's love that we can focus on. So I would just encourage all of us to think about a resource or something that we can use with our families just to remind us of the true meaning. Have that tradition of going through the Advent weeks and focusing on hope or peace or joy or love, whatever it is that Advent week is focused on. And, you know, maybe it's just around the dinner table, reading those scriptures together, having a prayer. It doesn't have to be a long time. I found with our children that normally dinner time they showed up. So what a great, I have a captive audience.
Right.
So that was our time to try to, you know, talk about what's important. And so I would just say, keep it simple. Use this time of year to our advantage to be able to talk to people about Christ in a way that's winsome and natural, and just be Christ-like in our interactions with people at restaurants or in the grocery stores or wherever it is that we're interacting with people. And I think that will be a great reminder of the true meaning of Christmas.
You know, we have such a wonderful opportunity in December in America every year that people are putting up decorations and Christmas trees and all kinds of ornaments and all. And even for people who are not Christians at all, it's very common to see them putting up things as a cultural part of the culture of America. What a great opportunity for us to gently get in conversation with people about why we're doing it and who Jesus is and why was it important that he came and all of that. It's just a built-in evangelism tool.
Well, you nailed it, Dave. Instead of seeing it as competition, see it as a catalyst for conversation. I couldn't agree more.
Boyd, any last thoughts about your devotional series, about the newest edition of 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus, or any of the ones that you've written before that?
Yeah, I would just leave the listeners with this thought. At first, when we were coming up with the series, I thought, oh, that sounds a little cheesy, 2 Minutes in the Bible. But the more I reflected on our busy culture, think about 2 minutes as an appetizer. You know, if we just take one scripture and hide it in our heart and we do that daily, just like money compounds as we save money on a regular basis. Maybe they take it right out of our paycheck. We never see it, and it compounds over time. I think it's the same principle with God's truth. The Holy Spirit takes God's word each day, even if it's just one scripture, we write on an index card and reflect on it throughout the day or ask God to lead us in a way to apply that in our life. Over time, that truth compounds, and before long, after a period, maybe a year or two or years, it's like our character transforms and our heart transforms, and the truth and the grace of God is able to take that word in our heart and make us more like Jesus, which is, of course, the ultimate goal. So that would be my encouragement. Don't despise the small things. Even if it's just a few minutes a day, stay in the routine of investing God's Word in your life.
Thank you so much, Boyd Bailey, our guest today on The Bookshelf. This is the first opportunity that we've had to talk, but I hope it will not be our last.
No, really, same here, Dave.
Yeah, we're just going to have to stay. We'll have to be intentional about staying in touch, too.
Sounds good. Love hanging out with friends from Alabama.
Absolutely. Boyd Bailey, our guest today on The Bookshelf for Christmas Eve. Thanks again so much for being with us for a wonderful series, a brand new edition in that series, 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus, 90-Day Devotional. It's from Harvest House Publishers. Boyd, thanks again, and to you and your family, Merry Christmas.
Yes, you're welcome, David. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Our thanks once again to Boyd Bailey, our guest today on The Bookshelf. Once again, his website is wisdomhunters.com, and you can download all kinds of wonderful things there. You can also, if you came in on the tail of the interview and say, oh, I would like to listen to it again, and I missed it, well, it's going to be archived on my website, onthebookshelf.biz. My wife, Becky, takes care of that and does a marvelous job, for which I'm very, very appreciative. Our wishes from everyone at WTBF Radio is for you and yours to have a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. We'll see you back here next Sunday. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.